some spreadsheets that we're handing out that we'd like to adopt today in regard to reconciling the House and Senate positions in regard to the funding in the bill. And we realize that there probably will be more discussion about this, but we believe the best place to start from that discussion is having the House and Senate being reconciled. And then we would like to adopt the language that would conform to the spreadsheet, and so we'll be turning to our books after we get done discussing the spreadsheet. Mr. Godfrey, do you want to go through the numbers for us?
Yes, Madam Chair, members. You should have a legal side spreadsheet. The spreadsheet has the House and the Senate's original positions coming into this conference committee, and then the conference column on the far right shows the agreed-upon numbers for the bill. Overall, the bill spends in the first year $10.2 million from the Health Care Access Fund. In 10 and 11, it spends $179.8 million. Beginning then on line 87 is the first change item, health care homes. This item is actually there's some agreement on this. However, we're still waiting for a fiscal note, and so this number is yet to be filled in. Then on line 104, page 2, is the Senate position on application renewal and automation. That's included in the bill. There is also an additional $50,000 appropriation in fiscal year 09 for the Department of Education systems impact. On line 117 is the MA infants position to 305% the House had in their bill. That's not included at the moment. On line 123 is the Minnesota Care one-month rolling eligibility. The Senate position on this was accepted, funding of $345,000 in 2009 and then $9.2 million in 10 and 11. On line 131 is the Minnesota Care delayed verification. This was in both bills and is in the final conference agreement at a cost of $171,000 in 2008-09. On line 140 is the increase of the inpatient cap from $10,000 to $20,000. This is not in the final agreement. On line 147 is the Minnesota Care Families expansion to 300%. And that is most of the costs of that are in fiscal years 10 and 11, total cost of $10.4 million. Basically, the conference agreement adopted the Senate numbers on this item. On line 156 is Minnesota Care Adults Without Children expansion to 300% with the premium reductions. Again, the Senate numbers here were accepted, cost of $10.5 million in 10 and 11. On line 165 is the eliminate Minnesota Care premiums for kids less than 150% of poverty and parents less than 100%. This was actually dropped by the Senate earlier and is not in the conference agreement. On line 174 is the Minnesota Care Grace Month. That's included in the bill and is funded $339,000 in 2008-09 and $19.2 million in 10 and 11. On line 181 is the elimination of the Minnesota Care four-month barrier. The Senate numbers here were accepted, the cost being $56.5 million in 10 and 11. On line 189 is the waiver of the first month premium for Minnesota Care, and that is not included in the conference agreement. On line 198 is the Minnesota Care Outreach Incentive Funding, a Senate position, and that was accepted, and the cost is $3.9 million in 10 and 11. 208 is an insurance exchange premium item that's no longer in the bill. Line 214 is the long-term care worker insurance study, and that's a cost of $482,000 in fiscal year 09. On line 223 is the rural and underserved areas physician rate increase, Senate position that's included in the conference agreement, cost of $200,000 annually. On line 229 is the ESI subsidies for Minnesota Care eligibles, both the study and the subsidies. This was funded at a lower amount of, $720,000 in fiscal year 09 for the study, and then sets aside $8 million in the tails for the actual subsidies themselves. On line 237 is the Senate appropriation for the Open Door Health Clinic. $350,000. That's included in this agreement. On line 243 is the mobile dental unit appropriation from the Senate, and that is not included here. On line 249 is the waiver of the Minnesota Care premiums, military members and their families, eliminate the sunset Senate position. That's not included in this as well. And then on 257 is eliminate the Minnesota Care add-back and depreciations effective 1 year earlier than currently forecasted, and that is a cost in this biennium of $1.3 million and a small cost in the tails. And then finally, there's one item that's not listed on here that will be on an updated spreadsheet. That's a $30,000 appropriation to the Department of Human Services for a dental study. This is Senator Solberg bill, and that costs $30,000 in fiscal year 09. Then moving to the Department of Health, beginning on line 270 is the establishment of the health, well, originally it was the establishment of the Health Transformation Commission. Now it's appropriation line for Minnesota Department of Health administrative funding to implement provisions of this bill. And $2.5 million in fiscal year 09 has been set aside for that. Then another $1.25 million annually in 10 and 11. And then it's sunsetted at the end of fiscal year 11. Turning to page 5.
And if I can just interrupt you a minute, Mr. Godfrey. We believe that communities should start planning and getting their applications ready to apply for the funding in 2009. So, for the health improvement program.
Madam Chair, members, the next line is 276, established Minnesota Health Insurance Exchange. That's no longer in the bill. On line 282 is the statewide health improvement program Senator Berglund was referencing. This is funded now beginning in fiscal year 10 at a level of $20 million. In fiscal year 11, it's at $27 million. The appropriation is being made out of the Health Care Access Fund, and it sunsets at the end of fiscal year 11. Next, on line 298 is the health savings investment assessment. That's no longer in the bill. On line 306 is the state, what we're calling here, statewide health savings research and measurement. This was an activity that was going to be undertaken in relationship to the health savings recapture. However, that item is not in the bill. However, the conference committee felt that it was important to still measure the savings, and this appropriation would be set aside for the Department of Health to do that. On line 313 is a revenue loss for Section 125 plans, the Senate position. That's no longer in the bill. On line 320 is funding from the Health Care Access Fund for the Minnesota Department of Health Healthcare Home Activity, $1.1 million in 08-09 and $3.4 million in 10 and 11. On line 328 is a House position for community benefit standards, $84,000, and that's a one-time appropriation in fiscal year 09. On line 334 was a House position for annual Minnesota Health Access Survey. That's not in the bill. On line 340 is the Risk-Sharing Advisory Council. That's no longer in the bill. On line 346 is a Senate position on e-health records, grants, and loans. Senate position no longer in the bill. 354 is a dental scholarship program. Senate position no longer in the bill. And then finally on line 360 are subsidies for FQHCs. Senate position now being funded at $2 million a year instead of $4 million a year. And members, that concludes the spreadsheet.
Are there questions? Representative Abler.
Thank you. Mr. Godfrey, on page one, that healthcare homes on the DHS part, do those prices vary depending upon which plan you pick, House, Senate, Governor, or are they all kind of the same?
Madam Chair, Representative Abler, the both bodies going into the conference committee were funding it at the same level, so I'm assuming that it's essentially the identical positions. The difference was originally the Senate was using funds from the savings recapture to pay for this, and the House was using healthcare access fund dollars. since that time, we've had the revision of the language of the healthcare home portion of the bill, and DHS has told us that those numbers that we were originally assuming going into conference committee would actually be reduced with the new language. We just don't know how much they will be, how much they will be reduced. And so once we have that information, we'll be able to look at that and figure out a way to pay for it, I assume.
Other questions?
I have one more, Madam Chair, just on the spreadsheets.
Representative Abler.
With the Healthcare Transformation Commission money being changed to the Department of Health, is that going to do a lot of the work that there was some lack of clarity about what the department would do in contracting? Does that imply that that's going that direction?
Well, we do have some money in here for the Department of Health to do some work in regard to the reform.
Thank you. But that's, I know the money follows policy. Has there been a decision about some of that, or is that just a tentative pot of money?
We haven't actually had time to work on that yet. I'm hoping that that'll happen today and tomorrow.
Thank you.
Other questions? Mr. Godfrey?
Madam Chair, members, I also just wanted to point your attention to the one-page sheet with the Healthcare Access Fund fund balance on it. I'd just like to point out in fiscal year 11, if you go down to line 90, or actually we'll say line 91, that's the balance in the fund at the end of fiscal year 11 with the provisions of this bill. And the balance is $202 million in surplus. Then I'd like to bring your attention to line 89, which is the structural balance of the fund. You'll see that there is a negative structural balance of $94.1 million. The test that the Department of Finance basically gave to this committee for structural balance and the structural integrity of the fund was if the fund structural balance over the, taking the annual structural balance in fiscal year 11 and multiplying that by two, if that number is less than the, is less than the overall balance left in the fund at the end of fiscal year 11, then they would consider that to be structurally sound going into the next biennium. In this case, you'll see the structural balance, $94.1 million. If you multiply that by two, it's $188.1 million or so. And so that amount is less than the $202 that's left in the fund at the end of fiscal year 11.
Any questions? Representative Abler.
Thank you. And I recognize the efforts that you're doing to balance all these numbers out. Mr. Godfrey, some of the expansions that are going on, the ramp up is linear, and sometimes it's a couple years and it levels off. Mm-hmm. Have you taken into consideration some of those as you multiply that 84 million times two? Do you think it might be more than 84 million in some cases, or is that your best guess?
Representative Abler, we've used the standard that finance gave us against all of the expenditures in the bill. Some of them are one-time expenditures. So yeah. I think whatever there might be in terms of ramp up is offset by those being considered as a part of the formula for the balance.
Thank you. I was just curious.
Other questions?
Madam Chair, I'd like to move adoption of the spreadsheet.
And included in that motion would be the technical changes to the spreadsheet of the $30,000 for the dental study.
Right.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. Now we need to do a little bit of work on the language to conform to the spreadsheet. And I think the first motion would be that why don't we first go to where we need to make some decisions out of the book here. Ms. Kavanagh, can you direct us?
Chair and members, go to the Article 3 summary. The
this will be addressed through your motion and tracking. There are a few differences. The first one, section one, is the immigration status, the application status.
There is a cost to that section that's not in the
tracking. Is there? Okay. Okay, that's the answer to my question then. Senate section 3 and a House section that came from the budget bill deal with the automation and coordination, and there is a difference. We took the Senate effective date, but the House has language in that section that adds language requiring renewal through these programs, and we had taken that out. That sentence, because I know the Department of Education had an issue with the ability of having them do renewal through their food and their lunch program, the free and reduced lunch program. So we had some language in other sections discussing renewal at various locations was how the Senate dealt with that.
Representative Huntley. Ms. Kavanagh, how does this relate to the spreadsheet?
We adopted the money in that with the automation and coordination, but there is this difference in the language.
And the tracking reflects the Senate position.
And the tracking reflects the Senate position.
Can we just wait on this?
We can wait on it.
So how will that? The House also has language requiring the commissioner to report estimated local and state costs of implementing the system and funding alternatives that the Senate doesn't have.
And, of course, I think the way this is going to work out, there would be no local costs. There would be this $50,000 that's needed to make some changes to the Department of Education computer system. And the Department of Education would be doing the runs, so there would be no cost to local.
Senator Berglund, would you like to do that amendment now?
Why don't we pass that amendment out?
Madam Chair, they're handing out your language. There's a reference in there to the WIC program, and that, as I understand it, has to uses a federal database system that's established in partnership with the Department of Health, and I think that was the concern about whether there was local costs was related to the WIC program as well, and whether or not there needed to be reprogramming or other things related to that.
We haven't heard of any issues with that, but I guess I think we should at least adopt this. This relates to data that would be provided by the school lunch program. And this then would have no cost to school districts.
I would move the A59 amendment.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The amendment is adopted.
Mr. Chair, and then there is a Senate Section 5, and this is not money related, but it makes some modifications to the language that was passed last year that deals with outreach in the school districts, and this modifies the language to make it a little bit more easier for school districts to implement.
We'll pass on that, too.
Then there is a House Section 3 on page 4 requiring a drug test for applicants and enrollees that are convicted of a drug offense to pay a fee of $150 if they test positive an illegal controlled substance.
Mr. Chairman, we have some concerns about the cost of this section.
Well, let's pass on that, too.
Mr. Chair, on page 6, Senate Section 11 and House Section 9, there is a difference in the language here. This deals with requiring the commissioner to designate locations where enrollees may submit renewal forms, and the House has the commissioner shall designate locations where enrollees may submit renewals and locations required, and then require them to be forwarded to the commissioner. In the Senate, its language says enrollee may renew eligibility at designated locations if there is no change in income or assets, and locations are required to then forward the renewal forms to the commissioner.
I would move the Senate version of Section 11.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted.
Mr. Chair, Senate Section 12 and House Section 10 deals with delayed verification in Minnesota Care, which I believe we did. And there's differences here. The House requires that it's determined eligibility and enrolled upon payment of premiums. The Senate has determined eligibility beginning in the month of application. Then House refers to denied or canceled, and the Senate refers to terminated.
We adopted the Senate tracking on this issue.
I believe
it would be the Senate
Mr. Chair.
Language.
Is the language?
I believe that the reason for the difference in language between House and Senate is the House picked up some technical clarification suggested by the department on this issue, changing the terminology. So that's the reason for the difference in language.
But the difference in tracking is the effective date.
Yes, the language that we're talking about now, it would not be tied to the dollar amounts.
I would move the House language and the Senate date.
Representative Abler.
Madam Chair, we're moving through a bunch of policy here. Is the department happy or comfortable with these changes? I know that the matter of the expansions in the accessibility is a part of the global discussion. And the detail of the language like this matter and the one we just did, I hate to lose the bill over some arguments about small policy matters. Do you know what the department's position on each of these matters is? Are those taken into consideration?
Representative Abler, I think what we're doing here today is trying to get our position so we can have a discussion with the department.
Okay, thank you.
It's pretty hard to do that if the House has one version and the Senate has another.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
You've heard the motion. Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted.
And I believe the rest is dealt with in the tracking.
Madam Chair, I think one issue not covered would be the language for the dental coverage program study, and we have an amendment that the committee could consider.
Let's distribute the amendment. Thank you.
Federal participation.
So, oh, 50,000. Okay. And Madam Chair, I'm told that on the amendment being passed out, the dollar amount is not correct. On line 1.6, it should be $50,000.
No, the language is correct. It has to be. Oh, I guess that number needs to be changed to 50,000. That includes the federal dollars that would be received.
So I would move the A-124 amendment with the change on line 1.6, the 30,000 would be 50,000.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. And I just asked the staff, is there any more work for us to do right now? Okay, then we go into session in about 25 minutes. I understand the House will be in session all day and into the evening, so it doesn't look like it'll be possible for us to meet anymore today. But I would hope that at some point tomorrow we would be meeting. So with that, then, our meeting is adjourned.